sweet, or sweet like honey, as the promises of God makes to us in Scripture. So, so there are two items that are going to be handed out to you, and you'll get, I'll cue you in as to what's to happen when that happens. All right, so just accept the thing that is going to be handed to you here momentarily. So whether you are a brand new to Jesus, you just maybe gave your life to Him, you're just trying to figure things out, or maybe you've been walking with Him for some time. The reality is God keeps His promises. In fact, I would venture to say that those who are seated here this morning and those joining us, you know that truth be spoken, He's kept His promises to you. He's given you numerous times of His example of faithfulness. He hasn't let us down, and He doesn't plan to. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Psalms 119, 103, it says, "How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey." This is pretty profound, I think. Your words are as sweet as honey. So by now, each of you should have a tube like this, all right? So, and inside of it is honey. So if you're allergic to honey, do not take it, okay? All right, we do have some medical people, but they're here to worship, not to rescue, all right? Okay. So if you have something with you, to go ahead and cut that open, and there are scissors if you don't have like a knife or something to open that, but I want you to do it here. You have napkins in case you're like me, like Messy Marvin. You know, you're going to spill it on yourself or something, or just want to bite off the top. I don't know. But, taste that honey. All right, I want everybody to. If you're at home, go to your cupboard and get that jar of honey you haven't opened up in a long time. Isn't that sweet? All right. I think that when we... All right. Everybody there? Everybody tasted it? Yeah? I'm going to put this away so I don't do anything else. So I gave you the honey so it could keep you awake. All right, no. No. All right. All right, everybody, it's not just something you're picturing now, or you're imagining the sweetness of honey. You're actually tasting it, right? Honey is one of the sweetest things that you could ever taste. When something is sweet and tasteful, we tend to go back to it, right? It's like, oh gosh, I've got to have that. That's so sweet. And that is God's desire as we begin this series, as we continually return to find His promises are trustworthy and true. So each week we are going to look at one of God's amazing promises for our lives. So before we begin, let's bathe this time in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, we welcome You into this place, into this sanctuary, as we dive into Your Word and how we ingest Your Word, that it will be like the honey we just tasted, that Your Word, as described in Psalms, Your Word is is sweet as honey. Lord, I help us to come with a willing heart to open our hands and ready to receive the deep soul rest that you promise through Jesus Christ. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. So in your, if you will turn with me to Matthew, Matthew the 11th chapter, starting at verses 28 and 29. And it says, "And Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" How many times have you heard this verse and read it aloud and breathed a sigh of relief, saying, "Whoo, he's willing to take on my burdens." We are a weary people. We are an overworked people. We are in desperate need of good, nourishing rest. We need rest. We just need to take that time out. Not just rest like plop on the couch, although that's okay too, but mentally, we just need to take a rest. Thankfully, as our passage here shows, we can find much needed rest in Christ. There are three things I want us to be able to pull out of this text this morning. The first one is to have rest. Rest requires that we come. Rest requires that we come. I have some friends I have quite a few friends. All right, not bragging, but I have a number of friends in Fairbanks that, before there was an Arby's in Fairbanks, I have people from Fairbanks here. They'll attest to this, right? People from Fairbanks, some 5 hours north of here, would come down. They're like, "Oh, you're going down to Anchorage? Hey, pick me up some Arby's." They throw them a tip spot. "Hey, pick me up this roast beef sandwich and da da da." And people from Fairbanks would come and get Arby's and bring it back. Have you ever wanted something that bad that you have to go to it because it's not going to deliver? You have to go to it. By the way, Fairbanks has an Arby's, but unfortunately, somebody drove through it. So, many of us have felt like God is distant and that he isn't close to us anymore. However, I would say in reality, maybe it has more to do with you and our reluctance to pursue him rather than the other way around. He's always been there for you. He's waiting right there. But it seems that we're the ones who are reluctant to make the effort to come to him. God desires his people. He desires, he loves it when we come to him. Genesis 3:8 says, "When the cool evening breeze were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees." You see, the account is right after Adam and Eve. They just sinned there in the garden. And so I want you to realize that. Did you see where God is at? God is not distant. It says God was walking about in the garden and he heard him. So he wasn't far away. He was right there with them. He wants to be where his people are at. No matter where we're at, he wants to be there with you. So naturally, God calls us to come to him. This means that in order to find rest for our weary souls, we have to be willing to walk toward him. What does that look like, walking toward him? Walking toward him means maybe walking toward him in Scripture. Walking toward him in prayer. Walking toward him in song. Just wherever you're at, just singing a song of praise to him. We need to do this not when we feel like it, but we need to do this continually, all the time. We must come to him. He has promises, and they're true, and he keeps them. Psalms 91:1 reads, "Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty." When we're in his shelter, we're with him. He is with us. But what keeps us from coming to God? What keeps us from doing that? Maybe for us, we claim to be too busy. We're too busy right now. I really don't have time. I've got this going on. I've got this going on. It's school season started. God, you know my schedule. Maybe we have put too much on our plate to where we are neglecting to be with him, to come to him. What would it look like if you had a piece of paper, much like the one that I left on my printer that I was supposed to bring out here, that says to-do list, and you have this to-do list, and you write it all out, all these things to do, and then take that list, rip it up, crumble it up, and throw it away. Maybe you need to reprioritize that and put at the top of it God's priorities today. What would God have you do? What does he want you to do first? The way to find rest is allow the keeper who gives rest, God himself, to make our priorities list each day, each thing on a list will be reflected by the character of him. Okay, so give me an example, JR. Okay, at the top of my list, all right, and this is really easy, school season. Get my kids to school, all right? Maybe when you're doing that, you're reflecting in that, like, when I take my kids to school, the first thing you do is pray for your kids as you take them to school. Pray for your kids as you get them ready for school, as they start off their day. The rest requires us, secondly, the rest requires we take So we know God, all right? We've made a decision to follow him, to come. And then he says, we are invited to take. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Now, when you first hear yoke, you know, I think a lot of people, but just because of generations past, you say yoke, they automatically think of an egg yolk, right? And that's kind of messy, but that's not what this passage is talking about. Let me be clear. The Bailey's McBride Dictionary says, a yoke is a means of governing an animal and linking two or more animals of greater strength. And you won't see that much here, but more so in third world countries, that yoke is that piece of equipment that is put on an animal, two animals, like two cows or two bulls, something like that. One's on the other. I've heard that the way that they want to do that is they pick one strong, the strong animal that's been doing it for a while, and then a new one. So a wise animal that's older, and then a strong young animal, so that way they plow kind of evenly, right? Because the old one's saying, hey, hold up a little bit, you know, but that young one's got that strength. I'm not a farmer. I've just heard that to be said. But that yoke and that third, that you see these animals wearing, I don't know. I can't imagine myself, most of us can't imagine ourselves being yoked, all right? Because being yoked means to be submissive to the one who's in control. That idea of being submissive is totally counter what we are today, to be submissive to something. Most of us want to resist that. You see, when we willingly decide that we take Christ's yoke upon us, we are invited to lay aside our personal desires aside. We're saying, okay, whatever pleases JR, I'm putting it aside. I want to put on the yoke, and I want to do the things that please my Heavenly Father, because I'm submitted to Him. I know He's going to guide me in the right direction. For many of us, maybe this is a reason we haven't been able to find true rest yet. It's that same website or substance that keeps knocking at your door. Maybe something else is got your attention. Let me tell you this, all right? If you're not yoked to Him, you will be yoked to something else. You might say, oh, no, I'm not. But yes, you are. You're yoked to something else. I would submit to you, choose what you'll be yoked to. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. The Bible tells us in order to find true rest, we must throw off everything that prevents you from getting rest. The things this world gives you are not worth, don't even compare to what our Heavenly Father is wanting to give you, is wanting to grant you with, is wanting to bless you with. Lastly, the rest requires that we learn. Finally, today I would say rest requires we are willing to learn. This is the final thing Jesus teaches in our Matthew 11 passage this morning. He says, let me teach you because I am humble and gentle. How many of you have ever had that teacher that you really didn't like when you're growing up? I know each of us have one. Chances are, maybe it might have been by the tone or their voice or just the way they instructed. I remember this English teacher. Her name was Mrs. Good. Very proper, very just, my sister knows, very, very petite lady, but very smart, and she didn't have a lot of room for nonsense. And so sometimes, you know, we'd like, oh, I got a sharp pencil, you know, sharpen my pencil. And she goes, it's not a sharp pencil, it's a sharp mind, so sit down. She was a smart lady. She was just trying to guide us. Maybe we just didn't get it. The beautiful thing about God, as we noted at the beginning of this message, is that He wants to be with you on your journey. He wants to be a part of your life. And who better than to learn than from the Son of God? That last week I talked about when Jesus, he he gathered his disciples there. I talked about in Mark in the verses between chapters 3 and 6, how Jesus had his disciples and he taught them, told them what to expect, how to expect the unexpected. We can learn those things from our Heavenly Father, and He wants to teach us, but we've got to be willing to learn. Sometimes we just think we know everything. Some people are like, well, I've been a Christian for 15 years, and I know everything there is. You can't tell me anything. Well, I'm telling you, you're wrong. You're wrong. There's something to be learned from God's Word every day. He wants to be right there alongside with you. Joshua 1:9 says, "This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And for me, that promise right there, that's real. He's been with us from the days of Joshua to the days of Paul to 2020. He's telling each of us to be strong and courageous. And when we do that, he'll never let us go. It's sweet to know that when we find life to be overwhelming, God has offered us rest. Come on. God has offered us rest. When we find ourselves weary, when we find ourselves burdened, sometimes it's because we have taken on a yoke or a way of living that is not of Him. We're living a life outside His way. And when you live a life outside His way, things will become very weighty, will weigh you down. Living to please others can be crushing, but finding God and wanting to please Him, nothing comes close to wanting to do that. So this morning I ask you, so what's holding you back? What's holding you back? What's keeping you from being with Him? I think for some, it's especially younger folks, it's like it's status. I can't let people know that I'm doing one of the doing the Jesus thing. It's kind of embarrassing. For some, even older, it's a status symbol. I won't be looked upon as a cool person. I've got my set of good friends, and I don't want to lose my friends, because if I start going to church and they start hearing me speak the name of Jesus, I won't fit in anymore. But I tell you, those things, they aren't worth it. They aren't worth anything. Those type of friends can't compare to His love. And what I find, I shared last week, is that when you, in your small community of folks, of influence, when you display the love of Jesus Christ, people will see something in you very unique, very profound. And although they might not say it, they want it. You know how I know they want it? Because they'll say, "Hey, can you pray for me?" You're that spiritual lighthouse for them. They're like, "I know it might sound crazy, but I know you know Jesus." So today, if you don't know Jesus, I invite you to be his friend. Because He's been waiting to be your friend. He's been there. He wants you. He's waiting there for you. He wants to take off that burden that you no longer have to carry and to give you rest. Heavenly Father, this morning, we thank you for the rest that only true rest that you can provide. We thank you for making that offer to carry our burdens. And Father, I pray that we would learn from you, and only way we can learn from you is to come to you. And so, Father, I pray that this morning we come running to you. Be reacquainted with you. You being our best friend. In your name I pray. Amen.